Always so happy to be here and see you once again. Thank you for being in your place. I would be greatly disappointed if I came and you'd backslid, dropped out. And by the way, I know some empty seats. Yeah, I know there's some empty seats. And thank you for being faithful, because faithfulness is an encouragement to everyone. And by the way, when we stand before God, He's not going to judge us on the basis of who was the most wealthy or the most talented or the best looking. He's going to judge us on the basis of our faithfulness. Amen. To Him.
Yes.
Anybody can be faithful.
Amen.
If they want to be. You know why people are not faithful? Unless they're sick and providentially hindered, they don't want to be. So thank you for being in your place, and open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. I love Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read it, and then I want to give you 9 reasons from this chapter why every Christian should gladly serve God and live godly lives. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Talking about the Jews, call us Gentiles. Verse 12, "that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, even having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, Jew and Gentile, one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. And through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also builded together for a habitation through the Spirit." We as Bible-believing Baptists believe in the eternal security of the believer. I'm amazed at some people who have looked at that doctrine and said, well, I'm saved and I'm saved forever, so I'll live like I want to. That's a step below ignorance. Down in these texts, when a person is a step beyond ignorance, we call it ignorant. They're ignorant. Yeah, man, the eternal salvation of God is not a reason or a license to live like the devil. It's a reason we ought to gladly serve God with all our heart and soul and live godly lives, because we now have a life worth living here, plus we have a heaven to look forward to. The only thing we'll ever know about hell is what we read in the Bible. What a blessing, what a gift. So I want to talk to you why every one of us ought to gladly serve the Lord with our life. We ought to find a place of service and do what we can to honor Him, and we ought to do it in godly, Christ-like lives. First of all, we ought to serve Him with all our hearts and live godly lives because of what we were before He saved us.
Yes.
Look at verse 1, 2, and 3. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there, that's the old devil, the booger man, that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of our mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. I want you to notice what we were before He saved us. Some people act like God really got somebody special when He got us, when He saved me or you. But the truth is, God didn't have to reach up to get us. He had to go down into the slime pits of hell and pick us up in the slime pits of sin. The Bible says He didn't save us because we are good little boys and girls. He saved us because we were dead in trespass and sin. Now, have you ever taken a close look at a dead person? They can't do anything to help themselves, or they can't dress themselves, they can't prepare themselves for burial. Somebody else has to do it for them. They're dead. And I want you to know, a lost person is dead in sin and cannot do anything of themselves to save themselves. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were not sick because of sin, but dead. We walked, the Bible says, and lived according to the natural course of this world. You go to some atheistic country or a country that knows not God, and you'll find people living in the flesh doing the most ungodly and horrible things that the human mind can imagine. And may I say, that was our condition before Christ saved us. And we ought to serve Him gladly because of what we were before He saved us. Verse 3 lets us know we were ugly, we were rotten, and unlovable. And it took a thrice holy God to love us on the basis of grace and in response to the suffering and bleeding and dying of Jesus, who took our place in sin. Secondly, we ought to gladly serve Him because of the sacrifice He offered. Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. You know, throughout the Old Testament, they had sacrifices that God prescribed them to have, such as doves and lambs and goats at certain times. But in order to say, and by the way, they never saved anyone. They were only a picture of the one who would come and die in our place to provide salvation for us. I want you to know it was not a dove or a lamb that provided our salvation. It was God's own darling son. He had never had a wrong thought. He had never done a wrong deed. He had never taken a crooked step. But yet, he allowed God to put all of the world upon him, to impute all the sin of the world upon him. And God judged him in our place so we could have everlasting life. No, it wasn't a dove or a lamb that died for us. It was the darling Son of God, the crown jewel of glory land, Jesus Christ, who left the ivory palaces of glory and came down to this old wicked world, took upon himself a body of flesh, and allowed himself to be made sin for us. And there on that cross, God judged Jesus like he'd judge a sinner in hell, until God looked down and saw the travail of his soul and said, "I'm satisfied. Payment has been made." And oh, my dear friend, we ought to serve him because of the sacrifice he offered. He sacrificed himself on the cross for us, and he did it willingly. Have you ever thought about them laying that cross down and laying Jesus down on the cross and driving those nails? If it was me, it would take somebody to hold my hand there for them to drive that nail through it. I'm fighting. But no, the Bible says, Jesus said, "No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself." And you know why he did it? For you and for me, so we could have everlasting life. Well, he could have called 12 legions of angels. He could have wiped us all off into hell and started over. But in Isaiah 53, the Bible says he opened not his mouth. He knew if he didn't die on that cross, you and I'd have to go to hell and suffer and bleed, or suffer and die in the torments of hell forever and never finding relief. He willingly suffered the wrath of God against our sin so we could be saved. And thirdly, every one of us ought to gladly serve him and live godly lives because of the way he offered himself. The Bible says in verse 16, "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross." He suffered and bled on that old rugged cross. He did not provide salvation for sinners like he created the world. You know, when he created the world, it didn't cost him one red penny. Everything was created by the power of his spoken word. He spoke and the worlds came into existence. He made us from the dust of the ground, breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But in order to save the least sinner, it required him to offer his own body, his own life, a sacrifice for our sins on the old rugged cross. Yes. How many of you ladies have a little gold or silver cross on a chain? Huh? Now, I'm not going to pick at you or be ugly to you. Yeah. You know what that cross was? It was the Romans' means of execution. Now, I wonder how many of you would take a little electric chair and put it on a gold chain and wear it around your neck. That's a means of execution also for years in Texas. But the difference is Jesus turned that old rugged cross into something beautiful. The place where he suffered and bled and died. And when we look at that cross, we don't think about the beauty of the cross. We think of Jesus, who suffered and bled and died for us on that old rugged cross. And then every one of us, and by the way, preacher, I noticed the clock is gone. And There's a calendar up there now. Oh, goodness. Fourthly, we should gladly live for Jesus and serve Him with a godly life because of the way He saved us. Look at verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now listen to me. If God put a dollar value on salvation, not one of us would be rich enough to buy it. If God put a perfection on salvation, not one of us would be good enough to receive it. If God put an intelligence level on being saved, not one of us would be intelligent enough to receive it. If God put a talent level on salvation, not one of us would be talented enough. If God put a most handsome or most beautiful price on salvation, not one of us would be handsome or beautiful enough to receive it. If God put a strength and ability on salvation, not one of us would be strong enough or have the ability to obtain it. You see, most of this world's not the most beautiful or the most talented or the most intellectual or the most wealthy. Most of us are just plain Joes and Jims and Sues and Marys. And God didn't want to leave anyone out. So He said, I'm going to provide salvation on the merits of grace through faith. And I'm going to give them the grace. It's my grace that's going to make it possible. And I'm going to give them the faith with which to believe. Yes. Oh, my dear friend, God not only paid the price for our salvation, but He provided it on a basis so every one of us could have an opportunity to be saved. We ought to gladly serve Him and live godly lives because of the way He saved us. You know, we saved us from a life of no hope. No hope. Look at verse 12. That at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world. Now, we're very familiar with that term alien, and especially illegal aliens. And thanks to our governor, Washington, D.C. and New York City is getting acquainted with it too. But think about it. A life with no hope and without God in this world. We've never been to a place where we're without hope. In a hospital, when the doctor comes in to talk to a patient that is terminally ill and he says, no hope, there's no hope. Oh, what a terrible situation. That's where we were in reference to heaven and without God and without hope. Aliens. Well, in fact, the most familiar verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we stop there. Verse 18 is important too. For verse 18 lets us know, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You want to know what the condition of a person who is not saved is? Condemned already. God's already held court on you. Verdict's already in. Condemned. An eternity in hell is facing you. As you are, you're without hope and without God in this world. But then, here comes Jesus, who suffered and bled and died in our place and has given us faith with which to believe, and grace makes it possible for a hell-deserving sinner to approach God in faith and accept that gift of everlasting life. What a gift. What a blessing. My soul. We were already condemned to the torments and the flames of hell with no end. But here comes Jesus. And because of Jesus, we can sing, from sinking sand, He lifted me with loving hand. He lifted me from shades of night to realms of light. Oh, praise Him. He lifted me. And because He did, we ought to serve Him with all our heart and live godly lives to glorify His name. And then sixthly, we should gladly live for Jesus and serve Him with a godly life because of what we are now that we're saved. Now, I grew up on a sharecropper's farm in East Texas. I was a nobody from nowhere. And I'm here to tell you, without Jesus Christ, I would have remained a nobody from nowhere. But Jesus has given me a life worth living here. Jesus has made it possible for me, who deserve nothing better than hell, to have life everlasting in Christ Jesus and a promise of heaven in eternity. He's also made it possible for me to have a life here worth living. Who would ever believe a tow-headed boy from Myrtle Springs, born in a house without electricity, without plumbing, and lived that way until I was in the fourth grade, went to a one-room schoolhouse in the first grade, was a nobody, no special. And then God saved me, and God called me to preach, and He's made it possible for me to travel all over this world, this country of ours, and Mexico and Central America and South America and Europe and England, preaching the Word of God. Amen. Now, there's no explanation for that, except when a nobody is given a life that's worth living and a future to look forward to, we ought to gladly serve Him with all heart and live godly lives to honor His name. You know, what's the difference between a believer and a Christian? Have you ever thought about that? What's the difference between a believer and a Christian? Well, you're a believer if you believe on Jesus Christ to be your Savior. But there were believers for numbers of years before believers were first called Christians at Antioch, Acts 13. And they were called Christians by their enemies because they'd taken on the lifestyle of Jesus and they lived godly lives, Christ-like lives. And they served Him. And their enemies called them Christians, like Christ. Hey, I'm glad to be a believer, but I'm grateful that I can be called a Christian. When you're a Christian, you resemble your Heavenly Father. Has anybody ever accused you of reminding them of Jesus? We ought to live our lives and act out our lives in such a way that we magnify Him and not this flesh and not this world. We're no longer aliens, but citizens. Citizens, our name's written in heaven. We have a citizenship on high. We're no longer a lost, hopeless sinner, but an heir to God and a joint heir with Jesus, the Bible says. Because of redemption through Christ Jesus, He's elevated us from a beggar to a child of the King of Glory, with all the riches and blessings of heaven available to me as His heir. And as a joint heir with Jesus, all that is His is promised to me also in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 21 and 22. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We should gladly live for Jesus and serve Him with a godly life because we are now the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. When you got saved, God wrote your name in heaven. He cleansed you of all your sins, and He indwelt you with the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you, this is your church building, but God does not live in this building. You know where God lives? In you, if you're saved. And that indwelling person of the Holy Spirit is God's promise of ownership and mark of ownership until you're raptured out of this world. It's the earnest money showing the honesty of God in redemption. The Holy Ghost of God lives in you. We ought to give some thought about how we live our life, where we go, what we put in it, what we put on it. I don't want to live in such a way to remind everybody of the hippie times or the prostitute on the street or the dope addict or the card shark. I want to live in such a way that my life reminds them of Jesus, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And then look at verse number 7. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Notice that word, show. Show. We ought to gladly serve Jesus with all our hearts and live godly lives because we are examples of Christ in us. That word show means He wants you to be on display to the world so the unsaved world can see what God can do with a sinner's life. He wants us to show Jesus through our lives. You know, the gospel the world cannot defute and the devil's never been able to refute is the gospel in shoe leather. The Christian's life that's being lived for Jesus. And we ought to gladly do it because of His salvation. He wants to put us on display. He wants us to show in the ages to come the riches of His glory and His saving power in me and you, and through me and you. And dear friend, I'm for providing Bibles and tracts and Romans and Johns to missionaries and where there are missionaries that can be there to minister to people. But if you give a Bible to an unsaved person, and that's all he has, he's not going to understand it. The Bible says the natural man understandeth not the things of God. They are foolishness to him. He needs a saved person, a missionary, a preacher, a Christian, to take that and witness to them and explain it to them. Or as the old East Texas man would say, would you explain that? Just explain it. This world, the only way this world's going to ever know about Jesus is through me and you. Through me and you. And when I get to glory, I sure would like at least one in to be able to say, Jesus, that's the man that told me about you. That's the person that told me. Will anybody be there to point at you and say, that person told me about Jesus? It'd be a shame to accept the salvation of the living God through Jesus Christ. Live in a way that nobody ever hears about Jesus from these lips. In fact, in the book of Psalms, the Bible tells us that God's plan is that one generation tell the next generation the wonderful works of God. Why you say the generation before were faithful to tell you about Jesus. Now, what about our time? We're up to bat now. What about those us? We ought to gladly serve Him and live godly lives because He wants to show forth His wonderful working grace in us. Then we ought to gladly serve Jesus and live godly lives because He deserves it and demands it. Look at verse 10. For we are His created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You ought to underline that word, God hath before ordained. You know what? That's akin to the word predestined. God pre-planned for the world who were ever founded that we would be saved through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, and that we who knew Christ, had received Christ, would tell others about Him and serve Him. That's God's predetermined plan for life. I've had people say, I'd God, if I knew His will for my life, His will is for you to live a godly life and serve Him with all your heart. He's predetermined that. He's preordained that we should walk in it. And listen, if there was no other reason on earth than our Heavenly Father said He wants it from us, that ought to be enough. What kind of a person will accept the gift of eternal salvation? So wonderful, so rich, that money cannot buy it. The riches of this world cannot buy it. It can only be accepted free on the merit of God's grace and faith. What kind of people would accept Him and not live for Him and gladly serve Him? God has a plan and a place for every one of His Christians. Now, I was 83 in July. And I know there's a lot of things I used to do I can't do anymore. If I have to get down on the floor to do something, I've almost got to call 911 to get up off the floor. But there's a lot of things I can't do. I can't just get out and walk great distances like I used to. But I can still serve Him. There's things I can do for Him. Yes. And I can live a godly life for Him. And we ought to gladly do that because of what He's done for us and who we are now and what we have to look forward to in Jesus Christ. I have never met a person that said, I'm lost and excited about burning in hell. But I've met a lot of people that said, I'm so glad I'm saved. and have heaven to look forward to. And because of that, we ought to be faithful in our local church. We ought to give our tithes and offerings. We ought to be able to have a prayer time, talk with God. Did you ever stop to think that God designed prayer because He wants to spend time with you? We can pray. I look back here at some of these older folks like myself that can't do a lot we used to do. We can still pray. And the Bible tells us we're to pray without ceasing. Get Him on the prayer phone early in the morning and never let Him off all day long. Pray without ceasing. We'll gladly serve Him with all our heart and live godly lives because of what He's done for us. Father.